0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on transfer deadline day. Celtic signed Sebastian Tanetke, but that is the lot, with Adam Ida out and no replacement striker in. Rangers splash the cash on Chermiti as Raskin stays and Dessers goes, and Aberdeen make some interesting moves with the window now closed. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, after a weekend's bore fest of the Old Firm, Gordon, we just all sat back and watched what was developing in the window, transfer window closing last night. Rangers, as you quite rightly say, splashing the cash, a lot of money invested. They've got a lot of players in, around about 13 since Russell Martin took over, but I think there'll be a lot of angry Celtic fans just now with the business that they've been doing in the window.
Yeah, it's a real surprise enter the window for me, even seeing, you know, Kevin Nisbet go up to Aberdeen on a permanent basis as well. Hibs tries to get Lyndon Dykes and didn't manage to get him in, but speaking about two Glasgow clubs there, Rangers will be a lot happier out of the two sets of fans. I'm really, really am surprised by Celtic fans. I'll admit I was wrong. They were saying at the start of the window they didn't think they were bringing another striker. Not only did they not bring another striker, they got rid of Adam Ida as well. So yeah, I'm sure we hear a lot of calls on that today.
An incredible transfer deadline day in so many ways, so many different ways. So let us know what you made of it. 0141 951 1025. We were obviously on air as it was developing last night. We went off at 8, the window stayed open till 11. So even then, although it looked unlikely, you still leave open the possibility that maybe there will be some late business done. And Celtic fans, there was not. Can you quite believe what has happened at the end of this window? Give us a call, sum it all up. Let's go through the moves one by one, figure out what's happened, where, who's to blame, where the club goes from here, because it's been a pretty good period for you Celtic fans over the last few years. I can't remember too many times where we've had as much negativity as we have today, and that's with the team unbeaten, started the Premiership season as well. But maybe that speaks for just how annoyed you are about the way the business has been done, or not done, as the case may be. So let's go through it all. Dahlberg, Ida, Tanetke, Yang, anyone else that you want to discuss the overall picture, get your thoughts in. Rangers fans, again, this time last night when we were on, we knew Chermiti would be coming in, we knew it would be a big fee, but now that it's done and dusted and he's in, how do you feel about that? Are you encouraged? Is that a nice sign of intent from the new ownership? Or does that big a fee for a guy who's not really got that much of a track record yet make you feel uneasy? Let us know your thoughts there as well. Cyril Dessers, eh, we'll miss him. We spoke about him so often on this show. He was great for debating and he's gone. Are you sad to see him go? Was it right for all parties? Derek Cornelius has come in, left centre back, Canadian international. Was that a priority area for you? I don't think we'll get too many calls, with no disrespect, on Oscar Cortez's loan move away. And what else then? What was the other piece of business from the transfer window that really caught your eye? I think people expected maybe Kevin Nisbet back to Aberdeen, but did you expect a 14-time capped Swedish international from Bologna, who's played at a really good level, to come and join Jimmy Tillin's side? Is that maybe the eyebrow-raising one of the window? You can sum it all up. Who's had the best window? Who's had the worst? Best piece of business? Worst piece of business? We are here for you. I say this a lot, to the point where you think I'm just saying it for dramatic effect. I've got a funny feeling, Gordon, again, we could extend the show tonight. And yeah, we might not even talk about the game. How often, the second day after an Old Firm game, are we possibly done with it? I mean, we might revisit it at some point, but the transfer deadline day has just really, really surprised a lot of people.
I'm baffled. I think that if you're a Rangers fan, you're probably more happier. You've seen their club going out and spending the cash, a lot of investment, and they've got 13 players in, Gordon. So Russell Martin can have no complaints whatsoever, plenty to choose from. But what I think amazed everybody was the fact that Brendan Rodgers already came out and said that at the weekend, I can't let anybody go until I get players through the door. Adam Ida was the one that we was talking about. And then Celtic fans wake up this morning, Adam Ida's away to Swansea, and there's no replacement. I said about two or three weeks ago, I was sitting in the fence. I could understand the board situation with the transfers. I could understand Brendan Rodgers wanting players in, but they have left themselves really, really short.
It's incredible Marvin, because, and look, I'm going to open the phones are open, they're going crazy. We'll get a flavour out in the next minute or so. But the phrase that you keep coming back to, it's a bit of an easy one, but everybody's saying it. Every fan, no matter how extreme or moderate they are, every pundit, everyone you speak to, the phrase that jumps out, everybody keeps saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe. And that's kind of it. You know, that sums it up.
Yeah, and that's where we're at with it. Like I said, totally surprised by the way they've ended the window, especially with Adameda going. I didn't think that was ever going to happen unless they got a centre forward through. But clearly something's gone on, whether the board want him gone or Brendan Rodgers has agreed for him to go and Adameda wants to go back down the road. Listen, I'm not sure he was fantastic for Celtic, but he was definitely another body in that number nine position. Now they're left with Maeda and, you know, whoever else is there to support him. But yeah, it's a massive drop-off for me. I think Celtic have been caught short. I know Iheanacho they're speaking about, but listen, he's not played a lot of football over the last 3 or 4 years.
Let's bring in John Paul to kick things off. John Paul, how would you sum up how you feel after that last night?
Well, first of all, evening, Gordon, Marvin and Gordon. I'm listening to you. You're saying you could extend the show to 12 o'clock. I could speak to 12 o'clock when I'm at first of all, bear with me because there's a few points. You know, I was all for at the start of the window that the board had to get players in, and that was understandable. Everybody knew the board had to get players in. For some reason, they never done it. They gambled on getting to the Champions League, then they never done it. Then they had to go and do their business at the end of the window. You know, no, it's absolutely shocking the way that the state that the club is in now. You know, and I try and blame the manager as well, because his style of play has been absolutely shocking for the last month. In fact, since the season started, we've been very, very passive, going across the back, very, very poor. And then the manager comes out at the weekend and says that under no circumstances is anybody going to leave unless somebody else comes in the door. What we're seeing here, and I think it's clear to see that the board and Rodgers are not on the same level. Dermot Desmond holds the strings, we all know that. He's the one that holds the strings. And he's, I believe that he's actually at his wit's end with Rodgers as well. You know, he's at a point where he's saying, well, you're not going to dictate me, and you're not going to dictate, even though you're the manager, you've spent £11 million in Ida, £6 million in Trusty, you're not playing on this season. And then he's obviously sanctioned that deal to let it go. Now, we go back to things at the weekend. It was very, very poor, see what we needed. And Maeda doesn't even look like he wanted to be there. He doesn't look like he wanted to be there all season. Nor did the players, we all know that players play with a smile on their face. Maeda does not look like he wanted to be there. There's massive between the front three. There's no congestion. What there was under Ange, what there was under Brendan Graham. You know, and I think it's clear to see that the board and Brendan Rodgers are at a stalemate here. There's a power trip, and Dermot Desmond showing him I'm the one that's in charge. You know, and it's quite sad because we're so lucky that Rangers are in the position they are, because a good Rangers side would take care of this and capitalise on it, and we're just lucky that they can't. But I can't believe that the state of your club is in after the window. We're left with John Joe Kenny and Yamada, who are not proven. There's no way we're going to see goals coming. We can't see any goals now, and we're left with no number nine at the club. It's absolutely a disgrace.
Disgraceful, says John Paul. And you can understand that, Gordon, because for years we've done this thing about, you know, Celtic, the ambition and how much they should spend and what level they're pushing on to. And I take John Paul's point saying, well, they overspent last season, so now Dermot Desmond or whoever's trying to make a point and say, you won't waste that amount of money again. You know, you can't have these big money signings. But this is different. This is not even in that same bracket of argument. This is about literally players leaving and not being replaced. We're not talking about Celtic trying to go to the next level. We're talking about Kyogo and Ida have now gone and no striker has replaced them. Like, add into that what Brendan Rodgers said. What more do you want? He said it on Friday. He said it on Sunday. Adameda can only go if we bring another striker in, and that's not happened yet.
Yeah, I don't think Brendan Rodgers will be a happy manager today, Gordon, and he's quite right. He did come out and state that he needed players in the building. I'm baffled. I think John Paul makes a lot of good sense there when he's talking about the transfer window, how poor it's been. There, for me, there's a breakdown in communication between the board and Brendan Rodgers. I've got to be, because everybody could see they were short. You looked at them at the weekend. It's probably one of the poorest Celtic teams I've seen for a long, long time. I've got to be honest with you. And if you're Rangers, you're rubbing your hands thinking, this will probably be your best chance to go and take the title off them, because you have left yourself so short, not just in bodies, but I look at some of the signings, quality as well.
I think the way, even then, the way that it was arrived at that Marvin, and again, you appreciate so much goes into this, and players can change their mind, and there are moving parts, and all of it, all that we've heard all window, but ultimately, Celtic fans are interested in just the end result. Casper Dahlberg was the number one target. He chose Ajax. Fine, you know, can you blame him? That's a good move for him. But for that to happen, and Adam Eder still be allowed to go with no obvious replacement lined up. By the way, I can now see reports in the Herald that Celtic are, because they are in the free agent market, are considering Patrick Bamford. But it is scrambling around and then some.
Yeah, and listen, you're going to pay a premium for those players as well, because any free agent out there for as a striker knows you can only sign from a really, really small pool of players. The only reason I can maybe make some sense from the Adam Eder one is once you accept a bid for a player, that means, you know, you're happy for them to leave the football club, regardless of what's going on in bringing somebody in. Then he goes down, he does his medical. So I think it then becomes really, really difficult to then convince that player to come back up the road and be part of the squad again. Yeah.
Is that bad planning though then?
Yeah, it's bad planning, I think. You know, and maybe Celtic thought they were further down the road with their number one target than they actually were. And obviously, like you say, Ajax came in and hijacked him at the last minute. But then the Adam Eder thing's probably, you know, 90% done, and the player's mindset is already down the road. So maybe you're better off, you know, him being down there. But like you said, they've left themselves extremely short now. And they have to bring in, whether it's Patrick Bamford or Iniesta, they have to bring in another centre forward. Because for the first time, I think, for me being up here in terms of looking at Celtic, and you look at their front three, the only one that you'd hang your hat on definitely going to start week in, week out, would be Maeda. Outside of that, you know, it's a flick of a coin.
But John Paul's right. Maeda's form's terrible.
But he's definitely going to start, isn't he? He's the only one going to play.
But he now has to, I think, is the point.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not like they can argue that there's no players out there. You see, for instance, Majovski, right, at the weekend. Celtic surely must have been looking at players like that as well.
Well, that'd be quite a simple question, I'm sure, now, wouldn't it? Now, knowing what you know tonight, if you said to Celtic fans, would you have taken Bojan Majovski? The answer would be,
yeah, for a price, go out there and take him. You've seen his work rate, you've seen everything that he's bringing to Rangers. I think that's a very good sign for Rangers. So there's players out there in the market at the right price you can go and get. But Celtic have been caught sleeping in the transfer window.
Let's thank John Paul and ask Craig to sum up the window from his perspective. Go on, Craig.
Good evening, guys. I think the window is nothing short than an absolute shambles. Like the last caller said, they've got all these players that have left that haven't been replaced, all these attacking players, and now we're about to go into the international break. After we come back after international break, we're going into a European stage with no recognised striker. And I just think, what happens if Maeda gets injured? What are we actually going to do? There's no coming back from this. We've got a recruitment director who's sitting there. I don't know what he's doing. He's absolutely just collecting a wage. I don't understand the process behind these things either, because we were linked and we went for a player from Go Ahead Eagles. We put a bid under, for, I think, just under £2 million for him. Go Ahead Eagles come back and wanted £5 million. We said no. We then went to the second on the list and went to Antwerp and paid £5 million for our second choice. But why not pay the £5 million for our first choice? And I just think it leaves us so exposed. And I feel sorry for Brendan Rodgers a wee bit, because I think he's the face of all this. He's the one that's going to have to take all the negative points. And I think it doesn't lie with him. My point is, it purely lies with the board and this recruitment director. I do not know what they're doing.
I've seen this made a lot, actually, that comparison. And I've always said Celtic are more than welcome at any point to tell us that, you know, things are more complicated than that. But you don't hear from really the powers that be at Celtic. So it's understandable that fans like Craig will say that, because they needed two wingers anyway, right? So let's say Balakwisha, he calls him second choice, but maybe he was still part of it. Celtic have been keeping an eye on him for a while. But I think he's right. The winger from Go Ahead Eagles, on the face of it, from the outside, it looked like Celtic wouldn't go anywhere near £5 million for him. Presumably, he's their number one target, because that's the one they look at early in the window. Now they have paid 5.2 for Sebastian Tanetke, because they, again, presumably, hands up if we've got it wrong, because they had to, because they do it at the end of the window.
Yeah, they've got recent history of this, Gordon. They go in low ball, and then all of a sudden, the time's running out, they panic, and then they're forced to pay, you know, over odds for players.
By the way, look, every team wants value.
Listen, there's nothing.
There's obviously a fine line.
But it's incredible that, you know, you've got your manager come out at the weekend and saying, absolutely no circumstances does anyone leave here until I get bodies in. And Celtic fans are waking up this morning saying, Well, why even come out and say that? So obviously there's a problem between Brendan Rodgers and the board. Brendan Rodgers can't be sitting there looking at his strikers' options just now with the running fixtures. You know, Celtic are in league games, European games, they go to the finals of cups, so there's a lot of matches to be played. And they've left themselves so short, it's incredible.
There's a very basic measurement, I think, for every fan, Marvin, of every club, so it doesn't matter what level you're at. Can you come out of a window stronger than you went into it? Or certainly not weaker? You add this window to the January window, the Celtic fans feel like the squad's declining at an alarming rate. Because then, even if you want to go even deeper, the ones that you mentioned, how's Maeda's form? Callum McGregor, probably too early to write him off, but he's not getting any younger. You know, Kieran Tierney's back, and you know, maybe struggling for fitness at the moment. Mm-hmm. The other stories were so big, we didn't even touch on the fact that Celtic didn't sign a right back to replace Alistair Johnson, so it's now going to be Anthony Ralston for the foreseeable. You can understand why they're alarmed.
Yeah, Celtic fans are totally right to think and to say that they're definitely weaker now than they went into the window, or definitely the last two winners like you mentioned there, Gordon, and that's the massive worry. You know, when you look at the players that have been brought in and the money that they haven't spent, the only thing I can think of is, are they just going season to season? Whether if they were going to be in the Champions League, they'd have been, obviously the money that came from that would have been put into player budget. They haven't made that, so then they've cut back on it.
But ultimately, likely the way, because there's still there must be more than this.
I really don't know.
You know, like I see the point you're making. If Champions League meant you were going for this level of player,
yeah,
non-qualification means you go for a slightly lesser level. This is... But we're talking about actual bodies haven't been replaced.
And having ultimately have less money. And that looks like what's happened there. But I really don't understand how they've gone into it, like I said, with Adameda, and they've came out without Adameda and without a striker to replace him. That can only be down to finances. I know people will be shouting at the radio, we've got plenty of money in the bank, but Celtic are run as a business. We all know that. So it must be a season-to-season thing. If you don't make the Champions League, this is where we're going to be at, where we have to bring money in or whatever else.
I can't fully get my head around that, Gordon, because... It's not like every penny's a prisoner, cash rich. And Adameda was sold for £7 million. We're talking about, they sold Nicholas Kuhn in this window as well. It is not that Celtic don't have the money. It can't be that.
Yeah, and it's not that there's no players out there that could come in and do Celtic a job. I think Celtic have literally sat today and says to other teams, for instance, Hearts, Rangers with 13 players, maybe even a Hibs, to say, come and challenge us now. Because they are certainly weaker than they've been for a long, long time. And you've touched on it, Gordon. We watched them on Sunday. Okay, it was a one-off game. It was very poor quality. But McGregor looks like he is struggling a little bit. Tierney is a mile off it. A mile off it with his fitness and everything. He needs to get up to speed. Brilliant player, the lad. You look at Maeda. Doesn't look half the player he was. So, and then you've got Alistair Johnston missing. You've got Jota missing. They've just left themselves so short, it's incredible.
Thank you to Craig. He, along with John Paul, are already in the hat, because don't forget, every night this week you can win a pair of tickets to the Saturday at the Ladbrokes Airgold Cup, happening from the 18th to 20th of September. I can totally imagine you, Gordon Dalziel, Martin Kemp of Spandau Ballet fame with a DJ set. You're up the front.
Yeah.
I can. Don't let that put you off, though. I shouldn't have said that. I want to make this a good thing, an incentive to go. Our very own George Bowie and the GBX playing in the Saturday as well. You can go to air-racecourse.co.uk, but why not give us a call, talk football, and you're in the hat for a pair of tickets anyway. We'll do more of that next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel are here. Bill is on to give us his summation of Celtic's transfer business. What words would you go for, Bill?
Hey, Bill, I'll do this as quickly as I can. The disaster that Celtic at the moment is to a large extent due to Dermot Desmond. If you allow these chief executives at his various businesses he owns to operate as badly, he would sack them and bring in replacements. Instead, he allows the incompetence of the CEO and recruitment people to remain in the job. He was the one who brought Brendan Rodgers back to the club, and I'm sure Brendan was given some assurance that money for transfers would be available to recruit new players. Last season, Brendan was faced with three players on deadline day. Did he scout these people? Well, the recruitment people were twiddling their fingers. We're going to lose our manager and we'll probably end up with some mediocre person. So Dermot,
either sell your shares or clear out the dead wood from top to bottom.
You seriously think that does this sort of accelerate Brendan Rodgers' departure or guarantee that he doesn't stay, or is that the way you see the knock-on effect to this?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I think he'll probably have made his mind up already.
Oh, I think we lost Bill.
I do agree with that.
Do you?
Yeah, 100%, Gordon. He's got to be sitting there. Listen, they had a good season last year, Europe, obviously the Bayern Munich results as well, and you're thinking, right, okay, they could have a good run in the Europa League. But he's absolutely nothing to work with. You've seen it at the weekend as well. You looked at Celtic's bench pitching up at Ibrox. Now, they've got off to a good start in the league. They've not conceded. They're unbeaten, of course they are. But you looked at Celtic's bench at the weekend on Sunday. It was very weak indeed. It really was. And a manager of his stature, he will not be happy with what's going on.
That's a massive worry though, isn't it? We're sitting in September, just in September, and we're talking about the manager saying or thinking he's going to leave it end of the season because he's just not being backed. How does he pick those players up? How does he get through the difficult times that definitely come within a season when you've got one eye on potentially leaving at the end of the season?
Yeah, well, he's got to. He's a man manager. He's a manager of Celtic. Look, he said that he would be here to the end of the season. I think that's what will happen. I think it's got to be a long few months to January till the window opens again. Then we'll see if it's the same scenario, Gordon. We'll get back then. But as I said earlier, and I know that we keep going back to the good start that Celtic have, but for once, they've let the door open and said to other teams, like, you look at Hearts spending a lot of money as well. Rangers coming out and spending £8 to £10 million in one player. 13 players brought in. Can't argue with that. You look at Hibs. Hibs are a real settled side. So all of a sudden, Celtic have put their title up there to be shot at.
What do you think is that true, firstly, Marvin? And is that maybe more down to the sort of feeling around the club, maybe a negativity that sets in, maybe the mindset of players and managers that are left, maybe the impact it has on fans? Because Celtic still are unbeaten start to the season. They're joint top of the league on points with Hearts. It's not like Rangers have brought a lot of players in, but all we've done is talk about how bad they've been for the first few weeks. Is it seriously that by the window that it throws Celtic's domestic dominance into doubt?
I think so. I really, really do. And they could have been in a lot stronger position. I think if you're a Rangers player, I know, like you said, they've had a slow start in terms of the way they've been playing. You look it over the piece and think, I can't believe they've had that transfer window. Now, we can close this gap between now and January before they can bring anyone else in for a free, unless it's a free transfer. I think in cup games, we spoke about it before. I think once before Celtic, I said about Celtic losing their fear factor. I think it was when Neil Lennon had gone back in there. I think that's coming again, Gordon. I really, really do. And listen, Thursday and Sunday is going to be a real, real difficult task to do with such a small squad of players.
I think, when Bill references last season, Gordon, it's such a go-to, and you get it because there's a pretty widely held perception they overpaid for all three. It was deadline day. Can't make that mistake again. But I think to reflect what we said earlier, this isn't that. This feels like worlds apart from that, because you can say they overpaid and look at Adam Ida, it's not worked out and he's gone. He still scored 20 goals last season, Adam Ida. Arne Engels scored 10. Again, was he worth the 11 million? Fine, different. But he played a part. Austin Trusty started the vast majority of Celtic's Champions League game, Celtic's best Champions League campaign for many years. So yes, they probably overpaid, but it's not like it was like such a ridiculous, disaster that you then let people leave without replacing them.
And they had a good season last year. They were, penalty kicks away from winning another treble, Gordon. And you quite rightly say that Almeida did score 20 goals. So right away, you've not even looked at replacing that. That's gone. You've got a guy that scored 20 goals for you. Now, he wasn't having the best time. He obviously wanted it out. I think it was a good deal for all parties, only if people were brought in. If the manager must be sitting there this morning and thinking to himself, where am I going with this squad? Because there's a lot of games coming up between now and January. And you've seen what's happened. Johnston's out for 12 weeks. Jota won't be back till next season. Kuhn, yes, you would say, hold on a minute, we get good money for him. Perfect, great business. But you've got to go out there and strengthen. You can't leave yourself weaker, and that's what Celtic have done.
I know you can always say this, I get it. Every team in the world, you say, oh, they might have an injury, but right now, imagine Daizen Maeda got. It's a good job he seems to be the bionic man. But
yeah, it's something that Celtic fans won't even want to, you know, think about. They honestly won't want to think about, because, like I say, when you look at the top end, yes, they brought in two wingers. They're kind of unknown at this moment in time. We don't know what they're going to contribute. You've got Forrest, who's still obviously helping. Yang, who looked like he was going to Birmingham and then was pulled back. So where his mind's at with it. If Maeda was to get injured for them, it'd be a massive, massive worry for Celtic, because they'd almost look toothless at the top end. And I know we're saying this on the back of them, you know, not conceding the goal and being top of the league, but there's a long way to go. And like I said, you're just opening that door for teams to really challenge them and really go at them when they play against Celtic and think they can get points from them.
In terms of the wide areas, Bill, you did get Balakwisha, who's played at the weekend. You did spend five and a bit million on Sebastian Tonetke last night. Does none of that cheer you up?
In the first place, I don't think many people would have made much of an impression after signing 24 hours earlier. But what people fail to remember is Celtic started off with £80 million in the bank. And four players, they've brought in £32.5 million. £17 million for Kuhn, four for Kyogo, ten for Kyogo, four for Frimpong, and Tilio, £1.5 million. That's £32.5 million. Spending £5 million on a winger is peanuts.
Yeah, you can't argue with the business that they've brought in money. But when you bring that money in and you're getting value for your money, you've got to get players in. Now, you don't need to go out there and buy the £11 million players. We've seen it. I keep going back to it. I think if Celtic would look at it long run, Majovski, get out there £2-3 million. It'd be a very good signing, you know, from now until next season. There's players out there that they could have shopped in the same market as they want to shop, would have improved their squad. But it's bodies and the amount of games they play. I think Brendan Rodgers will be really struggling just now with that.
It's the point Gordon makes there, Marvin. It's going to take a lot more than this for Celtic to be criticised for the way they bring funds in, because honestly, they just continually do it. Even Adam, he does a good example.
Yeah.
Problem is, they've not replaced him, but you know, had a disappointing season, still get £6-7 million for him. Celtic fans and board will be hoping that last night wasn't the start of even that side of things declining, because they had £3 million there for Yang, who again is, don't ask Hugh Keevans what Yang's contributed. They had £3 million bid for Birmingham. The player clearly is headset and going. That then, again, we'll never know the details. There's stuff on WhatsApp flying about that Celtic just dragged their heels and took too long. Birmingham said, right, forget that then, and signed Patrick Roberts instead. So all of a sudden, what for Yang now? You know, and you had the chance to make an extra £3 million.
Yeah, I think Celtic were in a situation where they're probably thinking, what's happened with Adam Eder in terms of he's gone and now we're, you know, trying to scrambling around for another striker. If we let Yang go before we sign a winger, the same thing is going to happen again. And I think it just, like you said, it got to that point where Birmingham were like, we're not going to wait any longer, but Celtic had to bring somebody else in. Imagine they'd got rid of Yang and all of a sudden, you know, the winger that they have signed, they didn't manage to get through the door. It'd have been an even bigger disaster for them. So I understand that one for them. And ultimately now Yang's, you know, even further down the pecking order.
How does he feel, Gordon? He's now from Friday or Thursday morning or whatever it was, there are now two other people ahead of him in the pecking order. Yeah. He doesn't get the move that he thought he was getting.
That's why it doesn't make sense with Adam Eder as well, Gordon, because we all looked at it and thought, right, where would he be? His mindset, he wanted to go to Swansea, he wanted out of Scotland, it wasn't working for him at Celtic this season, and then all of a sudden Yang's in the same boat. It's actually the same situation. Where is his head at this moment in time? Because he was obviously wanting to go to Birmingham, start his career down there. It wasn't happening for him at Celtic. Celtic were getting good money in for him. I thought that was a good bit of business. All of a sudden, he's a Celtic player this morning. But Adam Eder, where you're really, really short as a centre forward, he's been sold. It just doesn't make sense.
Let's thank Bill, who's in the hat for the tickets to the races, and get Chris and Govan's take on it all.
Hi there, lads. How are we doing? You okay?
Good, Chris. Oh, good. What about you?
Well, obviously, last night, it was quite clear all Celtic needed to do was, when Adam Eder left, was get a striker. And what did the board go and do? Buy a winger. That's fantastic, right? There is three strikers that Celtic could have had before the window shut. We could have gone when it was very clear at the weekend there, or last weekend there, before the Celtic Rangers game, that Bojan Majovski was told to find a new club. Why didn't we go and get him? We could have easily gone down the M8 to Hibs and asked for Kieran Bowie, who I think would be a terrific player for us. We didn't do that. Or we could have maybe shopped around the English Championship, but we don't do that either. Because the board, this is the, it's the basically the board, it's the John McGinn thing all over again, where they won't pay what someone is asking. I'm not saying get fleeced, but I'm saying you've got to be reasonable. I believe, obviously, as you guys know, I'm a season ticket holder, and I actually believe that if we drop anything against Kilmarnock on the first game after the international break, have a bad start in the Europa League against Red Star, I believe that come the Hibs game at the end of September, I think the atmosphere could be very toxic towards the board. It was starting to get like that in the Livingston and the...
I was going to say, do you not think we're there already, Chris? There were sick, the board chants in the Champions League game. So, and since then, you've dropped points to a struggling Rangers side and had this transfer deadline day.
That's what I was saying. As I say, at the start, before Kyrie, during the Kyrie Almaty game and the Livingston game, there was chance to sack the board. But I think it could get a hell of a lot worse. I mean, we did drop points against Rangers. Both teams in that game weren't very good anyway. But I just think that the board need to... The board obviously didn't trust Rodgers with money for whatever reason. But it was quite clear what you need. You needed a centre-forward, and we didn't even go and get one. And there was strikers out there we could have got. And I think now what we're looking at is potentially Iheanacho, who's obviously now a free agent. I don't know if he's gone elsewhere. It's just... I mean, what is the board stumbling on?
It's a sad day when you've left yourself, Celtic Football Club, with the finances that they have got, the business that they were doing with Kuhn and Kyogo's and Adam Eda's away, and you've left yourself shopping about in a free market, looking for guys
that... Do you know what it reminds me of a wee bit? Hmm. You in the yellow sticker aisle, Motherwell Asda.
Yeah, certainly.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Seeing what yogurt's got to date tomorrow.
Basically, that is exactly the way it is. I've got to say, and I'm astonished by that, especially with the fact that Brendan Rodgers has been saying it for weeks upon weeks upon weeks to get his business done earlier. Celtic have been caught sleeping.
I think obviously, Marvin, then once you are in the yellow sticker aisle, like Gordon DL, you're really going to have to settle, obviously. So if it is Iheanacho, he, I think you alluded to this earlier, can command quite a high wage.
Yep.
He's had his contract terminated by Sevilla, so he can become a free agent. I think it's 30 minutes of first team club football since April. Mm. It's been a long time since he sort of contributed in any meaningful way, but obviously had a pedigree, did work with Brendan Rodgers before. The other name tonight is Patrick Bamford. He turns 32 in 3 days' time. He, again, just, you know, so many injuries, again, would come with a big fee. Do you think you would just take either of them? You just need a body, anybody, doesn't matter what it costs? Or is there a danger that it would actually be counterproductive to sign someone like this?
I think they need to get a body in, Gordon, regardless. And like you're saying, those two there, they've both got their fitness worries over the years. You know, and actually, like you said, not played a lot of football. Bamford, there's no doubt about his quality, but he's been injured an awful lot of occasions. But I do think Celtic have to bring in, if it's one of those two or another striker in a free transfer, because they just don't have the bodies up there. They need another body. And, you know, for so long we've praised Celtic for being proactive when it came to transfers. They've been really reactive in this one, and they've been too slow to do anything. It's alarming for them, but they have to now bring in someone on a free transfer.
What's it called though when you're actually not it's not even reactive?
They're not even, yeah,
really.
Well, they're still in the blocks, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in a situation they've got to bring a striker in.
By the way, I think that
needs up to speed.
But also, it's going to take ages.
I think that has to be done tonight for the Europa League.
Yeah, so they can't play.
That's an extra $5,000 a week.
Oh yeah, that's a great point, because see, if you're a player or agent, you now know Celtic are struggling, so you're going to up your price. There's no doubt about that. They might end up paying over the odds again, and you've then got to get these guys up to speed. They've hardly played any football.
Thank you very much to Chris and Govan. Speaking of big sums of money, how does this sound?
The Cash for Kids Sports Challenge.
If you want to win £551,000, you can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, go yes to 61025, and those texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate there. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Online entry there as well. Don't miss out, because lines close 5pm Friday. It is a serious amount of money up for grabs. Just imagine it, £551,000. It would be yours, straight into your bank account after the call, just by answering your phone. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. Let's bring in Gavin. The calls are absolutely flooding in, so let's see what Gavin's got for us next. On you go, Gavin.
All right, Gordon, cheers for taking my call. All right, Marvin and Gordon, last night's transfer window, absolute shambles by Celtic. Complete shambles. Everybody knows, every Celtic fan knows, they're sitting on millions of pounds and they don't want to spend it. I was actually chatting to friends of mine in work today, leading up there even the last couple of days, and I was saying, if Celtic don't get a striker in, even strengthen all over the park, Hearts and Hibs will fancy having a crack at that league this season. Celtic are very, very weak. I'm not even saying Rangers will nip in on one. I think Hearts and Hibs both have a genuine chance this year of going and winning that league. Hearts especially. Hearts look good. If they can stay injury free, they've got a couple of good signings on, I think they could push Celtic all the way, never mind Rangers. We're really, really weak, so we are this year.
Is it a genuine chance? Because we've sort of done all this before. It was October last year, the end of October, Aberdeen had their, you know, what's on the table. They had shown, you know, we weren't just talking about transfers here. Aberdeen, they were right there and people were talking about it. It very rarely comes to anything. Do you share Gavin's thoughts?
I can see where Gavin's definitely coming from, especially after the window closes and Celtic have left ourselves so short. I said, I touched on it earlier, I looked at their bench on Sunday, it was very weak indeed. So obviously they're coming out of the window weaker than what they were, Gordon. Hearts have invested a lot of money and brought in some real good players. They've got an experienced manager there. Hibs will always be a threat if they can keep Bowie and Boyle up top scoring goals.
Cleage as well up there. Yeah, spend good money. Nearly got
pound,
Dykes.
Yeah, £1 million players. So they've got a good balance about them. You look over this across the city, surely Rangers, now they have been poor under Russell Martin so far, but bringing in all those players, spending £8 million to rising to £10 million last night as well. So I think that, I said it earlier, I think they've left themselves a bit short. I still think it would need something special, because I still think Celtic have got real quality in their team.
I suppose, Marvin, maybe before we get to that, because I'm now asking you to predict the outcome of the league in May, is it the fact that you've even given, should Celtic's position not have been so strong that you don't even give anyone an incentive, you don't even give them a chance, there's not even a discussion? Is that maybe the alarming thing?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we should be speaking about Celtic and saying it's Celtic then whoever next, but the fact they've had the window that they have had, maybe, I'm with Gordon, I still think they'll win it, because over the piece I still think they'll have enough, but it's going to be a lot closer than it should have been. And like you said, that depends on them keeping Maeda fit, because if he was to get injured for a period of time, then all of a sudden the tables completely turn. And it's never really been like that for Celtic. You know, one player at the top end, if they're injured, there's always been others that you thought he could come in, or he could come in and really replace them. I just think without him, and I know he's out of sorts at this moment in time, but he's their talisman. And without Maeda at the top end, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to win games of football.
Marv, you've seen, obviously, Hearts firsthand at the weekend. What was your thoughts? Are they good enough as a squad to go and challenge at the top of the league?
Yeah, I definitely believe so. Very, very good team. The only thing for me for Hearts is they've had so many poor first halves, and they've had to claw it back at all times. Even against us, they're 1-0 down at halftime. They change to a back four. They go on to win the game. You know, against Motherwell, they're 3-0 down at halftime. So it's, for me, it's getting that settled formation. I think
they've got a very, even after yesterday, they've got a bloated squad, don't they?
Yeah, they really do, but there's a lot of quality within that squad. And I think Tony Bloom, you know, he came out and said that he thought they could separate Rangers and Celtic, or Celtic and Rangers.
How did their record signing look, the Brazilian Agüero who came on?
Brilliant. Honestly, really? Yeah. He looks the real deal. Physically, he's a specimen. He's box to box. I was even speaking to them afterwards, but from what I saw when he came on the pitch, he made a huge difference, and he'll start their next game. There's no doubt about it. He'll be a mainstay within that team.
How much did they pay for him, Gordon?
up to £2 million yeah. pounds it is.
So the biggest ever Hearts have paid. I reckon yeah. we said it's the biggest ever an Old Firm team's paid.
Yeah. Well, it shows you the intent that Hearts are looking to do.
Well, we'll see. Thank you very much to Gavin. What about John? Take it away, John.
Hi, good evening, Gordon and Marvin. How you doing, boys?
Good, how are you?
I'm a happy Celtic fan tonight. Happy. I don't have a problem with my board transfer activity. We've been out and signed four players, two wingers, Kieran Tierney included that as well. Another boy, I can't remember his name. Right, so see tonight, I'm not worried at all. See, I'm listening to guys like you on the radio, fellow Celtic fans, up in arms about, oh, look at the status, what's that? This is the same board that's carried this club. I do think he's an educated guy to understand what I'm saying here. This is the board that's carried this club through all the years, successful years, right? And tonight, they're all shouting about this transfer activity. We're 6 points clear, unbeaten. I'm looking at a club across the water who are calling for a manager, said, right? Who are 6 points behind us. You just spoke about Hearts team here. Their next game, Hearts. There could be 9 points behind here. And you listen, I don't have a problem. We're more than capable. If they can't beat us at their own park with 50,000 fans and us playing absolute backdoor stuff, rubbish, then I'm happy at that. So I don't have a problem with my club's transactivity. Aye, if you want to say a wee dig at them here and there, blah, blah, fair enough. And we've all got to sign a striker or whatever. But I don't have a problem. More than capable going on here. Gordon, I don't know who you picked up for the league, but are you still tipping Celtic? I think it's Celtic you tipped. Are you willing to change your mind?
No, I said earlier. No, I said earlier, before you come on, John, I still think Celtic would have enough. But I disagree with you. I think that you look at if Maeda goes and gets injured, right? Hopefully not for a lad. But if he goes and gets injured, who's your centre-forward got to be?
We'll have a replacement, Gordon.
But you're now shopping in the free.
Johnny Kenny.
Johnny Kenny's not ready to take that on, that responsibility over Europa Leagues and the cup competitions and league games. He's not ready for that. You know that. Everybody knows that. They've left themselves short in the centre-forward area. Of that, there's no doubt. And you're saying that they're going to sign a centre-forward, right? Which they obviously need to. But you're now shopping in a free market. Players that have hardly kicked a ball, and that's now the players that you're going for Celtic to go and compete in all these competitions.
Gordon, can I throw this right back at you?
I go.
Rangers sent a striker. Okay. Rangers sent a striker just last night, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about his medical track record and his goal scoring activity? Can you answer me that, please?
It's a young player.
John, do you know what I've noticed, which is quite a theme in Glasgow, and I get it. There's quite a lot about Rangers, though. You seem very content to just think, well, as long as we're better than Rangers, and they're calling for their manager, and they've signed this guy, and Rangers are no very good. But what about Celtic? What about Celtic being? How do you compare Celtic to Celtic? Where are Celtic compared to where they should be? Where are Celtic compared to where they were last season? Where are Celtic compared to where they were two seasons ago? I know this is tough for people because that's the way the rivalry works. Mission impossible. Forget Rangers for a minute. Where are Celtic compared to where they should be?
Should be. That's a big ask, Gordon. Should be. It's all ifs and buts. You can have a season, you're flying. Next season, you take a dip. But see, at the end of the day, I'm going to come back on this program. I know for a fact we'll go on to win this league. Maybe they're treble. And see any logical person, my logical mind, right? They'll say, where's the problem? I don't have a problem. See, tonight, sitting here, guys, I'm genuinely, seriously, I don't have a problem with my club. I'm sick. I'm happy.
Do you think this squad's weaker than it was a year ago?
Weaker?
Yeah. Do you?
Well, I'm going to ask you, Marvin. Mm-hmm. We've just brought a guy in last night as well, so I don't know if can I boy that's going to be another boy in the other wing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they might go on to be brilliant players. Weaker? Where would you say we're weaker, if you don't mind me asking you, Marvin?
I think you're weaker at the top end of the pitch than you were a year ago.
Striker department?
Just front three.
Front three?
Yeah.
So who's the front three weak? Where's the front three weakness? That's your Marvin. You see Maeda? Is Maeda weak?
It's weaker than it was a year ago, yeah. Kuhn, would he start in this team?
We're 4 games in, son. We're 4 games in, Marvin, come on.
I'm talking about players, though, ability-wise. So who plays right wing now for you?
Kuhn, Kyogo, Maeda a year ago.
And it's not weaker now?
But Marvin, they're just saying a boy last night who
I know, I understand that, but we don't know what he might be brilliant.
So how can you make predictions like that? Or weaker?
So it's weaker, isn't it? Because at this moment in time, he's an unknown. You don't know what he's going to bring to the team. So at this moment in time, Celtic's front three.
If he's an unknown, then. If he's an unknown, how can you say weaker then?
Well, you can't say stronger, can you? If you don't know the outcome of something, surely it's weaker than something you know the outcome of.
John, do you know what? See, if I'm being honest, I'm kind of glad we got this viewpoint because it's always boring for us when we get the same stuff, isn't it? It's nice to hear the other side of it. One thing, and I knew this would happen, right? Because this is one of these phrases that gets thrown around social media. The Celtic fans who disagree with you, I know it's going to happen. They're going to tweet me and they're going to say that you are what they call on social media a happy clapper. How would you respond to that?
Listen, I supported my Celtic for birth. I'm not a happy clapper, but what I'll tell you is I'm 100% happy man. Knowing over the years I've had more parties and glory. Brilliant, my club winning leagues. Put it this way, I'd rather be a Celtic fan than a Rangers fan over the years. So
it's
yes,
not always about Rangers though, is it? Anyway, like, we will need to leave it there. We're very late for Beat the Pundit. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on, let's have a bit of fun. More fun. 01419511025. Lines close at 7, let's play.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley, Sun, are here. I love that. You got sunned off by the last caller. Come on, son.
Oh, no. Nearly 40, by the way.
Put in your place, son.
Nearly 40.
Brilliant. Oh, well. Anyway, it's been interesting tonight. Lots of reaction to the transfer deadline day, particularly at Celtic. If there's anything else you want to discuss, please do. I mean, you Rangers fans packed in a massive fee for Tunetki. No, that was Celtic. I'm getting their names mixed up now. Yusuf Chirmiti, the £8 to £10 million fee there. What do you make of that? Dessers leaving, etc. Lots of business being done. Anything else you want to discuss, call us now. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Stuart is on the line. How are you, Stuart?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Gordon. And thank you, Gordon. Oh, what the hell was that? Thank you.
It's a ring doorbell.
Yeah.
Stuart is it? And call. Where are you, Stuart?
I'm in Orange County, California. Same place as, you know, Darren that was on last week. My nephew was on last week.
Oh, that's your nephew?
And he did the 11 blood. He did the 11 Compton, by the way. He lives at a beachfront property in Palace Verde.
Well, listen.
Minted he is.
Once he sent me the picture of the golf course, I knew fine well what type of life.
I beat him, didn't I?
Darren was living. Is the full family out there? How have we managed to get a Beat the Pundit?
No. This is not. It's just me and my brother are out here, but it's just Darren come over. We're actually very, where I said my friendship, where he grew up, is very close to me. It's one of these things we know. We knew everybody, and when I brought up the club, I just said, it's my nephew. Is this a joke? That's the truth. I love him. But I've been great with him. I love him and his wife, he's winning. I mean, he's like family, you know.
I mean, the Californian Beat the Pundit Club. I don't know how this happened, but anyway, I'm all for it. So we'll toss the coin, Stuart. If it's the blue side, it'll be Marvin. If it is the red side,
every time I've been with you,
will be.
I played Thursday.
I was with you on Thursday.
We get 100%.
No, to be fair, he is. He's
it
out.
Doesn't matter who it is. That's why I called in, because these two are on.
Right, let's do it. Oh, I've dropped a coin. I dropped it down the side of the computer. Right, okay.
It's always me. I've played every single time.
Let's do it. Right, sure. I'll give him something else to listen to. I'm going to start giving. See, people who are in different time zones, Stuart, I'm going to give them extra questions and really annoy him because it's harder with the delay. But you've got 30 seconds. You've got 32 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Thank you, Gordon.
Right, your time starts now. New Celtic signing, Sebastian Tonetke, plays for which country?
France.
Ryan Christie started his career at which club?
Ross County.
Which ex-Rangers players taking part in Denmark's version of Strictly Come Dancing?
Oh dear. Brian Laudrup.
At what stadium would you find the Moffat stand?
Oh dear. Aberdeen.
What company sponsors the SPFL?
Oh god. Pass.
In what year did Paul Le Guin become Rangers manager?
Oh dear. 2016.
Okay, let's bring him back. I gave Stuart extra time.
I was thinking, I listened to a lot of that song was decent.
I'm taking the editorial decision. If they're calling
35 seconds.
No, I didn't time it. I just an extra.
Oh, it's probably 40.
An extra four questions.
Listen, honestly, more than ever, I don't care what you two think.
Shock. Right?
Because you can actually hear it when they're phoning from a different time zone. You've already got the advantage sitting in this studio. You can hear the delay. So I'm just giving them just an extra beat to answer a question. That's all it is.
They're
you ready?
Tonight,
they're very hard. You're getting zero. Ready?
Right.
Time starts now. New Celtic signing Sebastian Tonetke plays for which country?
Tunisia.
Ryan Christie started his career at which club?
Inverness.
Which ex-Rangers player will take part in Denmark's version of Strictly Come Dancing?
Peter Lovenkrantz.
At what stadium would you find the Moffat stand?
Partick Thistle.
Which company sponsors the SPFL?
William Hill.
In what year did Paul Le Guin become Rangers manager?
2014.
Celtic signed Jeremy Frimpong from which club?
Manchester City.
What do you think, Stuart?
Ah, it's impressive, big guy.
Oh, I think I'd rather talk about the Rangers transfer. I didn't even know William Hill. You know, Inverness with Christie, I absolutely knew.
Aye.
You didn't say it.
Stuart got a bagel there.
Just being honest.
A big bagel
he's
coming.
He's regretting that comment about you two being hopeless.
Oh, I know. He needed Gordon.
Let's find out how good or bad it was. Celtic signing Sebastian Tonetke plays for Tunisia. Marvin gets it and goes 1-0 in front. Ryan Christie, Stuart knew it, but he didn't get it. He said Ross County first, so it's Inverness 2-0. Marvin Bartley, easily my favourite sports news story of the day. Forget the transfer window nonsense. Peter Lovenkrantz will take part in Denmark's version of Strictly Come Dancing. Do you see that?
No,
I didn't either.
You guess that. Yeah.
I'm going to tune in.
Is it?
You'll be on that magic TV you've got. That'll surely be on there.
Denmark's. I'd love it.
You told me you spend Saturday night watching all sorts of foreign TV shows anyway. So surely that'll be on there, will it not?
Hopefully, yeah. But I don't spend a lot of time watching them.
Are you a fan of the Foxtrot, are you?
A usual 5 minutes and that'll do me.
So it's 3-0 to Marvin Bartley. The Moffat stand, none of you got this. It's at Rugby Park. Tough question.
They got that.
Would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Is that the first one you'd have got right?
Yeah.
The sponsors of the SPFL are William Hill. This is very impressive from Marvin. He's 4-0 up.
He's getting a bagel, isn't he?
Yeah, because Stuart the Rangers fan.
In a minute as well.
Stuart the Rangers fan was 10 years out on Paul Le Guin. It's 2006. Well, and Jeremy Frimpong signed from Man City. So it's a 5-0 win.
I respectfully accept my beating from Marvin, but I'm glad you've got points, Marvin. You do well, pal. There you go.
See you at the end of the day. Who's got the last laugh? He's in Orange County, California.
Oh, definitely.
What time's it there, Stuart?
It's 11 actually. 11 minutes past 11, Daz. So,
in the morning.
Morning. Is the weather lovely?
It's actually only 81. Yesterday was murder. It was 95 degrees yesterday.
Oh, it sounds rubbish. Sounds terrible.
Stuart, do you ever go and watch Orange County? Oh. Stephen Kelly's over there. He's play at Rangers and Livingston.
Yeah, I'm a member there. I was the liaison officer between Rangers and Orange County for a while. I go to all the games there,
Oh, decent.
Yeah, a lot of the games. It's just in the road. Really good football, by the way. I know it's up and coming on that, but it's totally family orientated. You know, an end in it. The fans are singing that, but it's just fun. It's a great night out, more than anything else. Mm. Hey, Daz, you might not remember me, but I was a guy. Somebody came on one time and said you played in a Man City Chelsea game, and I came on, and I was the only guy to name all five Scottish players that played that night for Man City, and you didn't even know them.
As if you would know. Derek Parley. Can't remember anything, this guy.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I did. Excellent in that game.
Is that the one you get the halftime team talk from a comedian?
No, the beginning of the game.
Yeah,
Eddie Large.
That's ludicrous from you. You've got some bad stories on here.
I know.
But taking a team talk from Eddie Large, thinking it was a coach, is not definitely your worst. Before I let you go, Stuart, what did you make from afar about Rangers deadline day?
Well, afar is one thing, but being in the Orange County Rangers club, it's every day. We've had this club for 30 odd years, and we were up at the game started at 4 o'clock. On you know, Sunday morning. And I can't remember, other than getting beat, I can't remember a Rangers Celtic game as bad as I've ever seen. But I'm glad it's over, and I just want to talk about the end. Look, we spent 32.4 million players coming in, and we get 24 coming, point nine or something like that, coming, players going out. So, all in all, we spent 7.5 million. Did we get everybody we wanted? I'm not sure. I'll tell you one thing I wanted to see that we won't see. See the last half hour on Sunday, I know Bielski was tiring, but I wanted to see him and Dessers up front. Everybody knows we need a target man and a layoff man. Dessers never had that. Never. He always ran about his cell, the poor guy. If he'd had Shanklin or a Bielski or something like that to win the ball and knock it down, he'd have been scoring more than 30. But anyway, we are where we are, and all I can do now is hope, because I'm not making any commitment. I'm still not happy, but we'll see where it goes for here. Yeah. We don't have any, nothing else to do between now and Christmas, you know.
So, all right, let's put it to the guys. Gordon, what did you make then? His two-man wish won't be with Dessers. We know he's away to Panathinaikos, but it's interesting now to see how Rangers striking department shapes up, because I think people know Miovsky. They know what he should be capable of in Scotland. But 8 million rising to 10 million is a massive amount of money for Rangers to spend. It's their biggest fee since Torre André Faure in the year 2000. What did you make of that? Did that surprise you that Rangers did that?
Yeah. For basically, you don't know, he's not proven anything yet. It's a big layout, it's a big investment. But I think the Rangers fans like the fact that they're showing a bit of sort of ambition and going and doing that sort of thing, prepared to pay the money. I was sad to see Dessers go, because I think you lose your top goal scorer. I like to look at Miovsky at the weekend, Gordon. Nobody had a particular good game. You couldn't have really picked a man in a match. It was a dreadful game. I totally agree with Stuart. But the one thing, you know, you're going to get off him was his work rate was absolutely brilliant. And if you can get the right service to him, then I'm sure he'll bang you goals. And that's why I said that's where I think Celtic let themselves down a little bit. I think there's one or two of these players out there that Celtic could have went and recruited.
Thank you very much to Stuart. Not to be on Beat the Pundit, you're happy with that, aren't you?
I'm delighted.
What, are you 6 from 6?
Yeah.
You're the man to watch this season.
I'm 3 from 3.
There we go. What does that tell you? Because you're obsessed with who plays the most. He's on once a week and has played twice the amount that you've played, and you're on twice a week.
I'm still 100%, so we're joint top.
Absolutely. No, but I'm just saying, he's the one that's really been made to work this season.
Well, he's doing brilliantly. And if you just keep getting guys like Stuart coming on, there'll not be many coins.
I was nervous. Because he sounded like a guy that was really, really confident. No,
we're still not giving away one of our new Beat the Pundit coins, because you can now win them.
Well, we've got the 100%. Surely we should get one.
What are you going to do with one of them? Mantelpiece?
Just at home and flick it.
Stuart, thank you again.
Let's
bring in Dale on the other line. Dale, 8 million up to 10 million. Are you happy with Rangers' transfer deadline day?
I think we're going to be happy with the transfer business overall. I will put a caveat on it. I think, like the rest of us, I think I'm a wee bit disappointed Dessers going, and I've got a son who's his absolute hero, and he said he's not going back until Russell Martin's away. But that's how bad he's felt about it. But I've got to say, overall, we had a lot of work we needed to do. It's not been a perfect window, you're never going to get that. But the number of players even we've got out who we needed to get rid of, that's still not perfect, but we've got most of them away that we wanted to. We've got somebody like Cortez, who's now going to go and hopefully get some game time, who's a guy who looked brilliant and then got all the injuries. But my main point I wanted more to make was, with the striker coming in from Everton, Chermitti, I'll probably get that absolutely wrong in how I've said that.
I think that's close enough.
But a lot of what has been said about this lad is, he's brilliant at holding it all up. And I do wonder whether or not Russell Martin is previously at Southampton going to a 2 up front. The gentleman, Stuart, who was on before, talked about having 2 up front. And I do wonder, even with Cornelius coming in, whether we might play a 3-5-2. And I think for most games in Scotland, that would be something that would work. I wonder what the panel think about that.
He's certainly got the personnel now to change his formations. Managers tend to stick with, you know, if they've went from day one as a manager, a back four, they tend to stick with that. You know, that's the original one. I wouldn't be surprised. He could and get his width coming down the flanks, obviously. And two strikers. I love to see two strikers up front. I know there's not many teams play that formation now, but I just love that partnership. I like to see two strikers. I think it gives you a better opportunity. But I'll be interested.
What makes you say that though? Because so few clubs in the world do it. So even the best clubs don't do it.
I just think that, you know, I was brought up with two strikers.
You were brought up with four TV channels.
Yeah, exactly.
Things move on. Black and white. Things evolve.
Yeah, watching the snooker in black and white wasn't fun, let me tell you. But I like the two strikers option. I do. I really do. I know that a lot of teams don't play with it.
Marvin, what do you think the likelihood is, given that we've spent a couple of months now talking about how Russell Martin has got such a distinct way that he wants to play? He's come in, he's had to work tirelessly at pre-season getting that in. He's played European games, he's played league games. Do you think he now on the 2nd of September changes his formation?
No, I don't think he will. He's definitely brought in players that allows him to do that, but I can't see that being at the forefront of his mind. I think with Rangers playing on a Thursday and Sunday, we speak about it being freshened up. And the amount of times you watch Rangers last season on a Sunday and they just looked like they were absolutely knackered, and he didn't have the personnel, the manager at the time, Clement, to really freshen it. So I think they've got a more balanced squad now. I think you bring in people like Mikey Moore and the other wingers that they've brought in, it means you're going to play with wide players.
Gassama, Antman, Moore all brought in. That's not... They're not playing
that forces you down, doesn't it? Yeah, to play wing backs. To play with wingers. But like I said, I just think it's options at the top end, which they've needed. Mioski's not going to be able to play every minute. There's not going to be a Rangers player that can play every minute. So yeah, they've got a better balanced squad now, but they need to go and start picking up wins.
Dale, what do you think of the size of the fee? Let's elaborate a bit more on that, because it's been a really interesting split where loads of fans think, well, it's good. What a sign of intent this is. The board are backing the manager. And maybe just because of where Rangers have been in recent seasons, with Andy Halliday as an example last night, saying he just feels like that's too much to spend on a guy that comes with, you know, a limited track record and hasn't played that much football. Which camp do you fall in?
I'm probably falling between. I think you're right, it's a large fee. If you look at it in terms of getting players from the English market, it's not. This lad has got a lot of potential. He has had a bad injury. A bad couple of injuries last season. That's a worry, particularly when it comes to Rangers. However, we've cried out for the fact that we've been basement players. We're bringing in somebody who's young, we're going for it. And if you look even at, Stuart said it just beforehand, about how much we've actually spent, we spent about 7 million, right? That's what we're out. That's what
outlay
is on that lad, right? And if you think about what we're going to take in Europe, qualifying for Europa League, if you'd asked supporters at the start of the season, I think the way we played against Bruges was absolutely deplorable. The draws at the start of the season were horrendous. If you'd say we'd be in the Europa League, I think with the initial draw we had, we'd have been happy with that. I don't think we're in the worst position. I think Russell Martin, you've talked about Russell Martin won't change. I watched a game on Sunday where he did change. He didn't play the high line. Suter looked far more comfortable, right?
It's more of a tweak that though, isn't it, than like playing 3-5-2?
No, but even if he goes 4-4-2, right? But I do think that he's shown that he can be a bit more pragmatic, because he had to be on Sunday and he did do that. And maybe we will see a bit of a change yet. I think you're right. He's a very principled guy in terms of how he wants to play, and it's been frustrating to watch. It's no good to watch. A lot of the fans are frustrated. But he's got 2 weeks with these lads now, or the majority of them. He's sort of trying to bed something in, and maybe a wee bit more in the squad. I think even having a left side defender in there, we experienced this guy. You're not a rotten player if you're playing for Marseille. And somebody said that they're a big, big club as well. You've got to have a big game mentality to play for them.
This that was a key signing for me. That was a key signing. Sorry to interrupt you there, Dale. That was a key signing in Cornelius. I think Rangers defensively have looked all at sea at times. I don't think they look balanced at all in terms of the back four. I think they've lacked a little bit of experience. I think John Suter has been moved from the left to the right, right to the left. It's not really worked for him. I think bringing in a left-sided centre-half was a key bit of business that Rangers did on transfer deadline day, because it was needed. Listen, Jigga drew into the game on Sunday, but for me, he is not the answer to Rangers at centre-half.
Thank you to Dale. It's the same number if you want to get in touch, 0141 951 1025. We'll do it next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. Still plenty of time for you to call. What about you other fans out there away from Glasgow? Is it safe to say Aberdeen had the most interesting deadline day? Kevin Nisbet, you look at the Swedish international, 14 caps. Jesper Karlsson came in as well. That was one that really, I think, impressed people. So have Aberdeen won deadline day? Hibs fans, you've had a pretty good window. You didn't get Lyndon Dykes over the line at the end. Motherwell fans, your last piece of business was Stephen Welsh from Celtic. Happy with that to bolster the back line? Give us a call, please. 01419511025. Thanks to Lewis McKenzie for sending this one in. I mean, so quick to react. Reactive, as we spoke about earlier. Lewis wants you to name 9 Canadian players with 5 or more caps that have played in the Premiership since 2016. This is obviously a nod to Derek Cornelius being signed for Rangers. Can you name the 9 Canadian players with 5 or more caps that have played in the Scottish Premiership since 2016?
Alistair Johnson.
Yeah, 56 caps.
Junior Hoylett.
Yes, 65 caps.
I'm going to throw in a name here.
That's sort of what we do, yeah.
The winger that played with Rangers. I'm the right thing here, innit? Young player. It's not Firth.
Fraser Aird.
Fraser Aird.
No.
Theo Blair, is that his name?
Theo Blair, yeah. He's got 5 caps, so he just about makes it in.
Canadian.
You're right. Fraser Aird played for Canada. I think he scored against Scotland, actually. But
yeah,
he's not
sure
on the list.
You're laughing at it. Son.
Does Scott Arfield play?
Aye, Scott Arfield.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's leave it there then. We'll get back to it in the near future. Thanks again to Lewis.
Like a little parrot on my shoulder. Aye, Scott Arfield. You're nicking my answers, man.
Fulltime at Clyde1.com. Ian is in Stonehouse. He's a Rangers fan. What have you got for us, Ian?
Hi, panel. I'm just a bit concerned about this Kevin Thewells transfer policy, bringing in some players that he's brought in. I'm not keen on any of them so far that he's brought in, apart from maybe Gassam. The chat last night, the striker, £8 to £10 million. Then you've got Seema, who was sold, signed for Sunday for £4 million this year. And also Cherny, you signed for £6 million for another club. 2 players that scored 15, 16, 17 goals each when we're at Rangers, and you go and buy somebody that can't score at all. I just don't understand that at all.
It is interesting because I think Rangers' transfer business on paper looks good. We've not seen it yet transform into anything resembling positivity for the Rangers fans. So you, what do you do other than wait and see?
Yeah, ultimately that's where they're at. They have to wait and see what happens. You know, Ian's speaking there about Cherny. I think he's too old for the model that Rangers are going with now to outlay with £6 million for him. Seema, I think wages would have been too high for Rangers to bring. It's not just a transfer fee.
Do you think so, though, looking at where he went?
Yeah, I do. I think in terms of the financial package, I think it would still be a...
Chermiti will be a big wages if he's costing it.
Not always. He's still a young player, isn't he? Ultimately, it was at Everton not doing a lot. So, you know, I think when it's a younger player, it's easier. He's not really got a reputation for himself yet in terms of first team football. Obviously, he was a really good player at youth level. He's still only 21 years of age, but Rangers are taking a risk on him, really, rather than the other way around. So, yeah, listen, in terms of the players that have been brought in, I agree with Ian. A lot of them have got to show what they can do and what they can bring to Rangers Football Club to improve it, because in terms of domestic games, forget about in Europe, they've not done enough to date.
Well, it's true what you say in the transfer market. You're never going to get everyone correct. And the amount of bodies that Rangers have brought into the building is quite a lot. So the percentage of that getting everyone is never going to happen. It's a good point that Ian does make. I think there's one or two players out there you could have probably got a bit cheaper than the £8 to £10 million on a guy that we don't really know what he's got to produce, Gordon. But they obviously believe that it's money well spent, and we have to give the guy the opportunity to show us what he can do.
It kind of reminds me of just how unique this environment is as well. We don't leave allowances for that. Look at Fabio Silva. He was signed. He's just the one I thought of when I was looking yesterday, because he was signed for massive money, came up to Rangers, looked hopeless, gone out, and he's now gone to Borussia Dortmund. I know he failed his medical, but was on the verge of a 20 €6 million move. You see that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I always told you he was decent.
You actually did quite like him, I remember that. But I suppose, you know, there's one thing on paper, you almost have to wait and see how everything goes in this environment. I think it is easy to forget because there is something about this city. You know, we spoke to John earlier about, you know, the rivalry and whatever. It's like there always has to be, it's like there's only room for one team to be in crisis at a time. So everything that went on with Celtic last night has almost made people forget that last week Rangers were in crisis because they hadn't won a league fixture yet and have drawn all their games. If Russell Martin does sense a weakness there in Celtic and one he thinks he can claw back, he's going to have to show that soon, because that'll all be out the window again if Rangers come back from the break and lose their next game or drop points again.
Yeah, he has to show it almost instantly. I think Russell Martin's got a massive period of time between now and Christmas where Rangers have to pick up close to maximum points domestically. You know, like we're saying, Celtic are in crisis and they're top of the league, not conceded a goal. That's a fantastic crisis if it is one. Rangers, for me, domestically, drawing too many games, performances haven't been great, but now he's got 13 players into the building that he wanted. They're his signings, or whilst he's been manager of a football club. Now he needs to go out there and show on the pitch what these players are going to bring and what he's going to bring as a manager, because there's no more excuses. I'm not saying it has to be the next game, Gordon, but like I said, over these next 2 or 3 months, he has to show a massive, massive turnaround and close that 6-point gap.
What do you feel about, how do you feel about Raskin staying in?
Staying, I'm glad he's staying. I just don't know what's happened between him and Russell Martin. There's obviously a fallout with him. I think he made a difference if he'd been playing on Sunday against Celtic, because we're just lacking that wee bit of dig for the middle of the park on Sunday, which I think if he'd been playing, it might have helped. When's the last time MD knew that a month into the season and we're in the bottom six of the table? I can't imagine that happened before. And I've been going to see Rangers for nearly 60 years.
How do you think it plays out? Because I feel like the Rangers fans generally are happy he stayed because they like him, quite simply, and therefore they don't want him to leave. But I mean, where does this go from here?
It just depends on the relationship just now. Obviously, it's not a good one because he's not even getting involved. He's training with the kids or whatever it may be. He's not training with the first team. Look, I think when you've got someone like him, he's a Belgium internationalist. So you're a decent player if you're getting picked by Belgium, especially the players that they've got.
It's presumably not about his ability, though, is it then?
No, but something we'll have to give, Gordon. There's no point, for me, there's no point having a player of his ability, and he is a good player, at your disposal, and you're sending him away to train on his own or sending him to train with the kids. There might be a way back. I always believe in football, you know, that two people can, a manager and a player can sit down in the office, talk it through and try and find a way to resolve it. And it'll be interesting to see if Raskin can do that with Russell Martin. It might be too far down the line that Russell Martin just has refused and thought, no, I'm getting my own players in here. You're out in the wilderness. I'm not interested in you. We'll try and get you out in the next window in January. But just now, with the squad that he's got, I would be trying to see if I can mend that relationship.
It's easier to fix now, though, isn't it, with the transfer window being closed?
Yeah.
I think from both parties, because the manager knows he's there minimum until January, the player knows exactly the same thing. So I agree with Gordon, that can definitely be sorted out, and I imagine it's something that they'll do as soon as he returns from international
duty. The only thing I will say, Gordon, is the rumours are going about, we don't know, but rumours are going about that he's been hard to deal with in the dressing room, he's not really acting the way he should. Now, if that's the case, you can't have that.
Because there were reports that Russell Martin's decision was backed by senior players in the dressing room. So it's not, it sounds like if that was to be the case, there's a bit of mending to be done there.
Yeah. And by the sounds of it, it'll need to come from the player. Because the player has to go in and, you know, have maybe put an apology to the rest of the lads in the dressing room. I've seen that been done before with players. Then you go and you apologise to the manager. And listen, there are guys that, if that wee apology comes in, they can go on and go for the benefit of the team. Because Raskin in your squad and in your team improves it. Let's not be kidded here, it improves the team.
Yep. Well, thank you very much to Ian. If you have any thoughts on Nicholas Raskin's situation, get them over to us, please. Any more on that teaser quickly? Just give me a guess.
He's got one.
No, I haven't.
No, not Canadians in the Premiership. No. Okay, you can get back to me. Don't worry. Tony is in Mount Vernon. How are you, Tony?
Not bad. How's the panel?
Good, Tony. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Two quick points. One, I want to say that all the Celtic fans will definitely 100% get behind the team this season. I do still think we'll win the league, and I think all the players that have come in need the benefit of doubt. But what I think Celtic fans should do, and it's the only thing the board understands, is vote with their wallets. I don't think they should buy anything from the club whatsoever. They shouldn't buy any merchandise, shouldn't buy anything within the stadium. And it's nothing to do with the people that work at Celtic, it's the board. They've absolutely, if I could say, shafted the fans royally this season. They've took all the money for Kuhn, the money for Dole, all the other players that they've got, and they spent absolutely nothing on, within the last probably hour of the transfer window, they brought in players that I don't think the manager actually wanted. He's probably got a wish list of 10 players and got none, and it was the board running about panicking because it'd been utter chaos if we got nobody in. And I think it's about time that the fans sort of voted with their wallet.
Will that actually happen, Tony? Because I've seen a lot of people say that. I think the most kind of obvious one is because, look, season ticket money's in, but people maybe not taking up Europa League packages or the cup scheme or whatever. Forgive me, I'm obviously not that well versed on the ticket scenario, but I've seen people saying that today, that they would, you know, step aside from taking Europa League tickets. Will that happen? Will that send a message? Or will the number of people doing it be so small that other people will just step in and take their seats and nobody will notice? How do you think this will go? Do you feel like this is a tipping point?
Yeah, I think it is. I think for the people that pay a lot of money for their season tickets, I don't think for them it's sort of too little too late for them. But I think when you go to the game, you spend nothing and you don't buy anything from Celtic from now until the next transfer window. It's the only thing the board will understand is without the fans buying what they pay for, there is no club. It's that simple. They need to respect the fans, and they haven't done it this transfer window.
I think stuff like this, Gordon, for us, I mean, personal choice, like, really do what you like within the realms of things that are legal and respectable. If you don't want to go to games, either way, you know what I mean? But do you think, do you sense that level of anger and frustration amongst the Celtic fans?
Apart from John, who was happy with the transfer window. I think the majority of Celtic fans are very disappointed today, Gordon. And the way Celtic have handled their business.
Images of a big empty stand behind the goal with John just sitting in his own.
with the big happy big gloves and his popcorn, happy as Larry. But no, I don't know. Sometimes I think you look at supporters talking about boycotting and not buying the packages and stuff like that. But look, you're a supporter. And as much as you're not happy with what's going on, I think you've still got to go along and support your team.
Yeah, again, Marvin, I don't think we're talking proper boycott here. We're talking about maybe it's just the Europa League games, you know, or maybe you're going, but that's it. You know, your days with merchandise and stuff. I don't really know. I've never personally been in a scenario. I've always sort of thought Motherwell could go to the third division and be hopeless, and I'd still just go the same if I wasn't working with you lot every week. You know, it probably wouldn't necessarily change much, but I totally understand why people don't feel that way.
Yeah, listen, the fans will definitely be frustrated, especially now because it's raw and the emotions are raw. But, you know, come Celtic's next home game, whether it's in Europe or domestically, and they can get tickets for, they'll be there. They'll be there to support their team. But what Tony's saying there is, like, not buy merchandise. I think that's something that fans could get on board with, because ultimately you're not punishing the players then, because you're still going there and you're supporting the players. But you're refusing to put money into the pockets of people who they don't think are spending it with Celtic's best interests at heart. So I do understand it. I definitely get it, and I understand their frustration as well, because, like you said, it's not been a fantastic window for them, and they've always supported their team.
Does Patrick Bamford or Kelechi Iheanacho float your boat, Tony?
Not really, no, to be fair. I mean, the other two players that come in, you can't say much. The guy that played left wing for Celtic, he just looked like a fish out of water, but maybe it was just the sort of atmosphere and things, and the way things go on, you could never quite tell. You know, we bought Lubo Maria Maravchik all those years ago, turned out to be fantastic, and it isn't the money, it's not the value of the player, it's the fact that we had an entire, 2 months maybe to go and get the players we needed, and up until 11 o'clock last night, we were still running about trying to find people that we want to get on loan, and anybody that doesn't have a club. It was just really embarrassing. And if I could just lastly say, as much as I don't really rate Yang, I think what the club done to Yang is terrible. You had the guy at 2 different clubs all over the UK, and now he's back, he must be feeling terrible. It's a real sad state of affairs.
Yeah, there's quite a lot going on there yesterday. Incidentally, it's nearly 8 o'clock and still not even close to anything on Bamford or Iheanacho, so I don't know what the likelihood of this is anytime soon, but we will see. Thank you to Tony in Mount Vernon. Your teaser tonight is to name the 9 Canadian players with 5 or more caps who've played in the Premiership since 2016. Alistair Johnston, Scott Arfield and Junior Hoylett, Theo Bear.
Witherspoon from St Johnstone.
Yep, David Witherspoon.
Ryan, Ryan played with Hearts, fullback.
Played with Hearts? Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah, innit? Is it?
McGowan. Aye. He's Australian.
He's Australian.
Is he?
Close. Was Harbour? Did he play for Canada?
Who?
Marcus Harbour, was
Marcus
it?
Marcus Haber. Haber. Yes, well done. Okay, we'll try and
can get, you join in?
We'll try and get the others when we return. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Been a quick show tonight in the final part of it with Gordon Dale and Marvin Bartley. Still time to squeeze some calls in if you want. And these two have got work to do on the teaser, which is, can you name the nine Canadian players with five or more caps who've played in the top flight since 2016? Before I get you to that, answer that, just something to mark your card with. If you want to listen to this show without adverts, you can actually go sign up to Rayo Premium. It means you can enjoy Super Scoreboard without the interruptions. You still get the interruptions that Gordon Dale does to me when I'm trying to speak, but the other interruptions. You can start your free trial now at Clyde1.com using the code Clyde1. The subscription automatically renews at $3.99 a month. At the end of the trial period, you can cancel at any time. Though full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. Anything on that teaser?
Yeah, we're going down the Hearts route.
No, there's yes, no way are. You are.
Why? Did I was putting my headphones on at the end of the break. Did I hear you turn to Marvin and say, it's got to be Hearts because they're all Canadian?
There are a lot of Canadian players that played with Hearts.
Give us one then.
I don't think you're going to get any of the three remaining. There you go.
There's one that starts with a Z. Zanata.
Oh, I like your thinking there. Dario Zanata. No, he's not on the list.
Did he play for Hearts?
Did he? Yeah,
I think he did. He's been about, but he's not. Yeah. Nah, he's not on the list.
You like that, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I like that a lot. Hang on, when you say I'm not going to get him, is it like pre me?
It's not necessarily that. I just think they're really difficult. I think you, with your extensive contacts in Scottish football, Marvin, your best hope is that someone in the game messages you to tell you.
I think that's my best hope as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even condone that, obviously, because it's cheating, but I just feel like that's the type of thing you might need.
Did the lad, Motherwell, Ross County, Payne, Harry Payne?
Oh, he's not on the list, you know, but you're as bad as I thought of this.
I'm hitting the crossbar.
These are at least Canadian, I give you that. Yeah. So Dario Zanata doesn't have caps for the full international squad, I don't think. And Harry Payton's only got one. So you're not as bad as, not as daft as you look.
No, but they're not good. It doesn't matter, it's not the right answer.
Right, let's have a look at some of the other business that does deserve a mention, but understandably we were unlikely to get as many calls on. Is it safe to say Aberdeen take the other headlines on deadline day? Kevin Nisbet returning and Jesper Karlsson, he's got 14 Sweden caps. He played for Bologna, played in Eredivisie. His YouTube highlights reel looks brilliant.
Oh, by the way,
did
you see the quote on Nutmeg? I was looking, we got them next. Hopefully he's not fit.
Whereabouts?
Up at Aberdeen
again on paper, etc. But that looks like a proper capture.
Yeah, I think both of those two. I think Nisbet, once he got fit last season, was really, really good for them. I think they've missed him at the top end. They've missed a lot, to be fair. They obviously not picked up any points yet. But I think both of those two are real exciting ones for Aberdeen fans to say, right, let's get our season going after this international break. Two players that are going to definitely come and add not only to the squad but to that starting 11. They need a boost, by the way. They need a spark, don't they?
Yeah. And Nisbet, if you can give them the opportunity, he'll get goals for you. And that's what they need. And obviously, they've got an easy game next one. So you'd imagine the 3 points would be tucked away.
But I just thought that, I know there's a Jimmy Tillin link there, the Swedish connection. It just felt like, to bang on about what we've discussed all night, genuinely the type of profile that, in the absence of anyone else as well, I don't think would have looked out of place at Celtic. That's kind of the hope, I think, for Aberdeen fans.
Yeah, but they need to get something going. You know, they're obviously come off a high last season winning the Scottish Cup, and they've not really got going at all. You would think the manager's coming under a little bit of pressure, but obviously the board have backed them with these two signings. I think Marv's right. I think they need a spark, and I think that if you can get the ball in his bit, then he'll score goals for you, and that may just be the spark they're looking for.
Your old pal Lyndon Dykes. I mean, imagine the mess he would have got himself in if Lyndon Dykes had signed for Hibs. Just everything that he loves all in one go. What did you make of that falling through? Is it damaging for Hibs? Did they need him? What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think a player of Lyndon Dykes' quality, Hibs will always need. It was one, obviously, when I first heard about it, that I thought it'd be very, very difficult to go over the line just because of the wages that Birmingham are paying him.
Kind of felt, and then, did they think it was on though? I mean, it looked likely for most of the day.
That was a kind of worrying thing for me and from the outside looking in without having any knowledge of it. Like, surely one of the first things you ask is, right, is the player interested? Yes, he's interested. Two, how much is he going to cost us in wages? And the fact it ran down probably until about 10 o'clock yesterday before it was said that the deal was off was probably the worry. And then they had no one else to go to. Clearly, David Gray and the board thought that the striker was needed to bring in. I think it takes a lot of pressure off Bowie having Lyndon Dykes in terms of his physical presence. But yeah, listen, I was very surprised when it looked like it was going ahead because, like I said, just the wages would just be too much for Hibs to pay. And Ellie Johan eventually didn't leave the club, did he? So
buddy.
Yeah, they had a £700,000 bid accepted from him from Legia Warsaw, who actually knocked Hibs out and then decided not to go. Yeah, just decided not to go. So I think that would have probably left them too top heavy, maybe at the top end.
He's too busy. He's got a ball with Marvin's face on it that he does keep you up peace with.
I think we're mates again now. Room.
Are you?
It was one of the best football spats of last season. So unnecessary.
Did you apologise to him? Did
just
you?
Brilliant.
What?
Let's not open old wounds.
What?
I'm trying to think what else was out there. Gordon, your hometown team have been getting rave reviews. They can't quite turn the performances into wins yet. Mm-hmm. They definitely needed another centre back, and they've got one in Stephen Welsh.
Yeah, I think that'll be a decent signing, Gordon. Stephen Welsh needed out Celtic. He needed game time. The only thing he comes with is a little bit of problems that he's had a few injuries in his career. I think he's a decent enough player. I think at Motherwell, if he can stay fit, then I think he'll do a really good turn for Motherwell. I think he's a kind of player that Motherwell need. I think he's decent with the ball at his feet as well. So he'll be encouraged to play out from the back. And you quite rightly said, Motherwell getting all the plaudits for the football they're playing, but they need to start turning these draws into wins.
I think you get different degrees of player that come to clubs like Motherwell from the old firm Marvin. Stephen Welsh is probably about at the upper end of what you can get. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? In terms of experience wise, you might have to take an academy kid that's not really played, but you I think knowing where Motherwell are in the food chain, you won't get a more previously established member of the first team. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think he's got over 100 appearances for the first team, played in all forms of European competition, gone over to the Belgian top flight.
It's a brilliant signing for Motherwell. You know, like Gordon's saying there, they needed a centre-half, 100%. You know, he's played for Celtic, like you said, on numerous occasions. He knows the league. He knows what's expected from him, you know, physically and how demanding it is. And also, he's a really, really good centre-half. Unfortunately for himself, he's just fallen down a pecking order at Celtic. Doesn't mean you're a bad player. And he's got a perfect opportunity now to show, you know, Brendan Rodgers and the rest of the club that I can do it in this league. And he'll go into Motherwell's defence and make them a better team. Like you said, everything suits for him as well. The way that they're playing football, he can go in there, he can get on the ball, he can play through the lines, exactly what he's doing at Celtic. So I think it's a fantastic transfer all round.
Well, that's about us for the transfer deadline day recap. The good news is, you know, the beauty of Super Scoreboard, we're going nowhere. Do it again tomorrow, and there's plenty more to be said. So let's round off on the teaser. Thank you very much to Lewis McKenzie, who emailed in to fulltime@clyde1.com. We're looking for 9 Canadian players, 5 or more caps. They've played in the top flight since 2016. Alistair Johnson, Scott Arfield, Marcus Haber, Theo Bear, David Witherspoon, Junior Hoylett.
Dougie's messaged me, Richard Hastings.
Who's messaged you?
Dougie Emery,
I'm afraid it's not one. It's a good shout.
Kilmarnock player.
Yep.
Position. Midfield.
Alexander Maxwell sent me a brilliant blast from the past, Jason DeVos, but he's not on there.
No.
Too far
what,
back.
What Kilmarnock player are you talking about?
Oh, I think he came up on loan or something.
No.
Oh, Nick Dasovic and Johnson. Nah, too far back. I'll make put you.
What team
misery.
Do they play?
Kelly.
For?
Liam Miller. Remember him a couple of seasons ago.
Oh,
the other one, what about, quite experienced. I'm looking at you here for your sort of English lower league jobber knowledge, because that's where you played. I'm like, he's actually had a good career. This guy came up to St Mirren and Killy, 49 caps, very brief experience up here. Nah, Simeon Jackson.
Oh, centre forward. Yeah,
and the last one you would never get, Hearts. Marcus Godinho.
Never heard him.
We're back tomorrow at 6. Thank you for your company. A pleasure as always. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.